Welcome, everybody, to the WJBM Outdoor Radio Show. I am Aaron Quillen, operator of Monarch Rivers. With me today, I have Levi York, a.k.a. Moose, and the world catfishing champion of the world, the Kyle Newhouse.
Yes, sir.
Thank you guys for being here. Thank you very much. I always have to give a shout out to other world champions of the world. Mm-hmm. In the last segment, Cole Foyles.
You guys are lucky I didn't enter that competition.
But we're just wondering when you're going to. We're just wondering when the Moose is going to join and fish the BRBF.
Could be this year.
Classic.
Could be this year to dethrone the Kyle.
Well, you know, we were back to back world champions of the world.
We won back to back. We we didn't win last year. We got beat out by Big Pat McAdams of all people.
Yeah, Big Pat.
Yeah,
he had the biggest, the littlest, and the only, I think.
Yeah, that was a bad day of fishing for everyone involved.
Yeah, them hot days are not.
What was it? Hot with low water.
It was,
I think
mid August.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't the best day of fishing for anyone, which no one caught any pre-fishing the day before either, so that's kind of to be expected.
Right, right. Did we go check Bub's spots for him?
I believe we
did. If you ask him, we did. We're not going to catch him.
He wants that title, man. Yeah,
and then Big Pat sneaks in and takes it from everyone of all people.
Oh, that would be salty. Bub, we love you out there.
Yeah.
Well, today, if you can't tell, we're going to be talking about fishing, particularly catfishing, but all kinds of river fishing. We have two great rivers nearby here, lots of opportunities, and these guys, they're the anglers. Lots of fish being caught during all the seasons, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. So tell me, guys, When was the first time that you went catfishing?
Together? Or like, as in the general, like...
Both.
Well, I'll tell you what. The first time I went, before me and Moose became friends, would have been... we had the little pond at our house there, and you could throw a worm in and catch bluegill, channel cat, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was my first time technically catfishing, but it wasn't until we were in high school when me and Moose went with our friend Jordan.
Jordo.
Yeah, we went down at Castleton's place down at the Mississippi.
Yeah.
And we went out with Jordan, and we were catching anywhere from 10 to 20 pounders.
It's like schools just kept coming in. Like, I was on the... They would reel them in because it was just reel after reel after reel, and I'd run the net, rebait, next thing you know. It was hectic. Like, I think that's what really got us going, and because we've always loved fishing. I got introduced to it down in, like, my parents going down to the Ozarks all the time. So we had a houseboat there on the dock, and I'd just tie strings to the supports, put a little weight on it to get past the frenzy of bluegill, and, you know, put it 30, 20 foot down, whatever it was. And that's how I was catfishing like that. You'd ask my parents, man, I'd get up at 5:30, 6, crack of dawn, always fishing.
Just knowing that there's fish down there, you know, it's hard to sleep when the sun comes up. And yeah, being at the lake, something else, because that was, I came down and stayed with you a few times at the lake, and that's when we started catfishing a lot more together.
That's when the snowball was small and started rolling down the hill.
Oh, for
now,
sure.
Look at it.
Oh, yeah.
2016, I think, is about when you got your boat and you were fishing heavy. I was living in Taylorville. I bought a little boat, and I'd got started fishing little lakes and stuff around my area. He was fishing at the river a lot, catching a lot of flathead. And then I left for the islands, so I was gone for a while. 2020, I bought a boat, you know, that was suitable for the river, and then we both had good boats, and it was just, you know, we were planning a fishing trip after fishing trip. We were going to Lake of the Ozarks. We went down to the Tennessee River one time.
That my buddy, nice. Levi Carlock, he was, he taught me some stuff about fishing back before I had, like, you know, the 7.6 medium heavy rods. I was just, that's when I got to level 2 or 3, whatever, right, the next level, and no longer satisfied with, you know, a 2 5-pound, something like that. It's
we're looking, you know, for the next size fish.
Like,
yeah,
trophy hunting fish edition is what we're after now,
for sure. Yeah, back in 2020 is when that's when I got my boat, and the first week I took it out, my brother landed a 50-pound blue on it.
What?
Yes, right there off the Mississippi River. Is my first week having it. My first time I took it out, me, you, and him had it, and we caught, well, they caught. I didn't catch a damn thing.
It was a curse at first.
It was. It was. I bought the boat, and I could not catch a fish on that thing. I watched Levi, my brother, catch just 10-pound, 15-pound channel cat one after another. It's like the best day of fishing I ever seen. Literally.
Especially Blueski. He just
he's always been lucky. Yep, he can catch anything.
And, love you, Blueski.
Right. And he ended up catching that 50-pounder, and that was awesome. That was, you know, he in his mind, that was, oh no, I caught the only big fish. I was like, no, no, we're catching a lot of big fish on this boat. That's the first of many, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people think it's about luck, but I mean, you got to be fishing for big fish if you're going to catch big fish.
Right. I mean, you can catch a big fish off little bait, but you can't catch a little fish off big bait. And, you know, if you're not out there looking to fill the freezer, you know, have a fish fry a couple of days, we don't want to mess with anything. You know, I don't, and it's cool catching a 5-10-pound fish, but like,
yeah,
we're out there for, we'll sit all night. We just did it, what, Friday? We sat till like 1 in the morning and didn't catch anything.
No, we had all big baits on. Right. We weren't getting pestered by a bunch of small ones. And, you know, we knew that there's the potential that a 50-pound fish was going to come along.
Right. In the same exact spot we were fishing not 2 weeks before. It was like 48 and a half, 49.
Yeah, yeah.
Flathead. We were out there. It's awesome story. It was like, it couldn't have happened more perfect, because I got off work, grabbed prime ribs and what, a bag of french fries?
Mm-hmm.
Come down. We had this planned. And went out, cooked the prime rib, cooked the fries while the baits were marinating, you know, waiting for fish to hammer it. And no more. We got everything cooked, ready to rock. And now we're just sitting, waiting for it to cool off. Boom. This rod, I thought it was going to go in the water.
It was the one on the far right, and it folded over. Oh, and the tip was touching the water. And, yeah, we had the steak cooked, french fries cooked, we were ready to eat. And we looked over, and the rod tip was touching the water. It's like, oh, boy. So there's always that transition of jumping up onto the boat, going to the back, grabbing the rod, and a lot of times it's gone by the time that you go to start reeling. Well, this time it wasn't. It was on there still. I was like, oh, my gosh. So it was on. It was holding down. You can, after so long, you can kind of tell what fish is at the end of your rod, you know. And you could tell it was a big old flathead just holding down. And
hung up on a ledge.
It got hung up on a ledge.
It was going to be gone. And because we've seen it so many times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We've had a big fish get hung up so many times, you know. But we got good beefy setups. And I wasn't gaining much on him. And he guys caught up for a little bit. I gave him some slack and gave him about 1 minute. And then I was, you know, getting stressed out, and we were both stressing. I reeled, and I kind of gave it a pop, and it freed up. I was like, oh, thank God. So the fight was back on. Well, whenever he was about 15, 10 foot from coming out of the water, on the line was some plastic wrapped around the line. I was like, what is this? And that was what I was caught on, I guess, some kind of plastic.
Huh.
And it got caught in my top eyelet. So on top of trying to reel in a 50-pound fish, now I got my top eyelet plugged up. And I can't. So Levi's sitting there with the net, and it plunged 4 times, and with these big fish.
4 foot of water. Never seen it. It was that close, and you just seen, you know, the tidal wave it just created. And then finally, and you know, we're freaking out to a certain extent, you know, we still got to maintain, but he finally got it after like 5 times, and he got it to where that fish paused enough that I could get it, and I netted it, started lifting it up, and it was so heavy, and he's got a decent net. I mean, the fish fit in it, and it started folding the net, so he had to grab the far end of it, but we got it out of there. It was seeing a 50-pound fish get pulled out of the water and really, it's just,
that was awesome.
It's not something you see very often. I haven't seen it, freshwater catfish, but like maybe a couple times, once now.
Yeah, that my first was my brother's that he caught on my boat that first week. He caught that 50-pounder, and then I caught one at Lake of the Ozarks on my buddy's boat about a month later and broke his heart. And I told him, I said, hey, my brother just did it to me. I just did it to you. You know, go ride, go fish with moose, you know.
it's my turn doing somebody.
Yeah, so.
Didn't Blueski catch a big fish under the bridge down there too?
Or was my brother?
Or was that you that caught that?
That was me. That was that.
That skinny, like.
It was the long one. Skinny, it maxed out that 50-pound scale, and it was real long, like it'd come off spawn, and it was thin, you know.
Just beat up, you know.
If it would have been filled out, that would have been a 70-pound fish probably, but.
It was huge. The thing was 58, 55 inches long probably. I mean, it was
a long one.
And it was just narrow.
Right. And then at the lake, it's kind of you got a lake, but it's also kind of a river. So they're big, hard-fighting fish there, in which now we go to the lake to do a lot of catfishing, but spoonbilling, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
That is a riot.
That is a hoot.
Oh, man, you've done it.
Oh, yeah.
Some people...
Mine was not big enough to keep, but it was still awesome.
It was 2 inches shy.
I know, but the thing is I was traveling, and I got just a few days and got to make it out and got to experience the whole thing, and that is totally different than what I imagined. It is cool. Mm. Those things are like prehistoric dinosaur looking platypus, like I don't even know what you call that kind of fish, but
dinosaurs,
right?
Yeah. Freshwater swordfish, I've heard.
Yeah. Okay.
Man, they are not very sharp swords.
No,
but it's crazy to think that those things are just swimming in these rivers right here.
They're filter feeders, and they just get they taste huge. Good. Yeah, oh, they're delicious.
And
delicious.
At the lake, they stock them a lot, you know?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so they run from the main water at the lake, which would be, call it the 1 mile marker, you know, from there all the way until they get to like the 80 mile marker, which would be in Warsaw, to the next dam.
Yeah.
And then that's when they spawn. Everyone kind of chases them from dam to dam to dam. And that's when you get, you know, 100 guys out there spoonbilling at once. But now with LiveScope, that at least breaks it up a little bit to where people can live scope over in a flat over here where all the guys trolling back and forth, dragging their hooks for these, snagging these spoonbill, they can be over here. So, you know, at least breaks the people up a little bit.
The guys running their dipsy divers and what have you.
Yeah.
Which, it's fun.
Yeah, I mean, there's, you know, two methods to do it now. You drag, well, three, I guess.
Three,
you can drag
your
old school, your lead and hooks, and you're jerking as you go through the water.
That'll wear you out.
Through.
I bet.
That'll wear you
out. That's the old school. Or you go through the dipsy diver, and you put the hooks on, and you're trying to snag one that way. Or there's...
But you snag whatever doing that. We did that earlier. When did we go down? April something?
Mm-hmm.
This is April 15th.
Because it's only a month and a half long snagging season at the lake.
Oh, excuse me. March 15th to April 30th is the season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, we went down. We had a real good time. I caught a, which you can't keep. So if you catch, like, if you're dragging through, you catch a catfish or carp or whatever else, you can't legally keep the fish because you snagged it.
But if you snag one and it is of the size, you have to keep it. That's got to be one of yours. You can't just say, nope, I want one of my two fish for the day to be bigger. If you snag one and it's of size, you've got
to
keep it.
Yeah, which is 33 from the eye to the tail. 33 inches, the nose, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it changes here and there.
It doesn't
count.
That's
what it is for now.
Yeah. Or it could be 34.
It was 34, then 32 now.
They have changed it. We've only been doing it 4 years now.
4 years.
And they've changed it twice.
My first time going, I went with a guide. And, you know, if we're talking about catfishing, a lot of people ask me, you know, if they can go with me or what do I got to do to catch a big catfish. First thing I'd recommend is go with a guide, you know. I mean, you can see what all it takes, just realistically, you know. And you'll have a good shot at catching a fish for pretty cheap considering what their boat cost, all the rigs, you know,
rods up reels, quick.
Very quick. So we've got some good. We're kind of in a catfishing mecca here. A lot of people don't realize it, but being at the Mississippi, right where it meets the Illinois, I mean, we got a lot of right where it meets the Missouri. You know, I mean, there's just a lot of big, huge blues here. We've also got big flathead. The further north you get, the bigger the flathead are, but less blue cats.
Okay.
Right where we're at, I think, are the bigger blue cats, but you get further south, there's less flathead, but more blues.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know? And then you can go over to, like, Virginia, Pennsylvania. There's some good fishing in that, catfishing in that area, but as far as the Midwest goes, we're in a pretty good spot.
Yeah, it's not bad at all. Mm-hmm.
So,
you guys have talked a little bit about fishing all four seasons. Did you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, like right now you got summer just started, right? Mm-hmm. And it seems like now fish are kind of...
post-spawn. They just got off their spawn.
Right.
So you catch a fish, you'll be surprised if it's going to be beat up. You know, the flathead he caught the other night, it looked like it just got its butt whooped.
Yeah, tail was all
wrecked. You know, a lot of times when they're guarding the nest or whatever, that current, if they're close to a rock, it just keeps pushing up against the rock constantly. They're not going to move, but eventually after a while, you know, their skin's going to start wearing and scarring. And I've caught several fish this time of year. And this is when I get the most time to fish, being a farmer, you know. Uh-huh. So summer is definitely not the best time to catch catfish, but it's the only time that I have, so I love it, so I'm gonna do it every chance I get. But it just makes it more difficult. You know, if it was easy, everybody'd do it, you know.
So what are some of the things in the summertime that get you excited, like, hey, we got a big rain up north, river's coming up, is that still play in the summer?
Oh yeah, anytime the water starts to come up, that's, you know, the bait fish are going to be spreading out where the ground's getting submerged, picking the worms apart, the new vegetation, and they're going to be sliding up into the shallowest parts they can, and the catfish are going to be chasing them up to those points as far as they can, holding ground, and then at night, they're going to be going out as far as they need to ambush those fish.
Attacking that shallow water, the water where it just went up, say if it's up against the levee or whatever, because, you know, it's like everybody knows,
so well,
once the ground gets saturated, those worms are... Yep. You know, and they just go pluck them along, or
they, you know, all those little bait fish are picking the worms. Mm-hmm. And then there's the big ones saying, "Hey, little bait fish are here." Bloop.
Yep, and they go up in that shallow water where it's warmer, so all those little fish are going to be up there. And if you're going to fish backwaters for catfish, go shallow. You know, what do you look at a bank pole? Look how successful they are. They're
as shallow as they'll go, basically. Which that's the point.
Which, if you're using bank poles, don't give too much slack. If you're setting one up, you don't want that thing to be able to go more than 2 foot in the water because you get the more slack you give them, the more they're going to get wrapped up, and you know that's more fight that they have. So just get barely in the water, they can attack that thing, and then they ain't got much, you know, they can't get fully turned around, swim away with it. So that's why
same concept with the leader at the end of your line. If you're going rodding and reeling, you don't want a 20-inch leader on your live bluegill. He's going to swim around and get you caught up in all that structure. And if you're not fishing next to structure, you're not catching fish. So a shorter lead on your live fish, you know, or on your live bait. You can use a longer one on your cut bait, I suppose. You know, the current will kind of take it down away from your weight a little bit. But catfish aren't real weight shy, I wouldn't say.
So if you were going to do a live gill, would you do J-hook or circle?
So if I'm flathead fishing, I love that question, because if I'm flathead fishing, flathead, they act different than the other two fish. Their flathead act very dominant. And so...
territorial.
Very territorial, for sure. And one thing I learned from... there's a show on YouTube where... this guy was going spear fishing with a spear gun for flathead, and he was going up to brush piles, and it was at Beaver Lake, which is really clear, and so he's going down there, and he's got a dive suit on, everything in a tank, and he's shooting these flathead. I didn't really appreciate that, but you could learn a lot from their behavior, though. These flathead were going, they're coming out of their brush pile, scooting up to this person who's 20 times bigger than them, approaching them like, you know, get the hell out of here.
What are you doing here?
Right. So, you know, they're very brave, you know, fish. So, but they're also kind of territorial. They'll stick to one brush pile and dominate that area, you know. So that's why I don't mind letting a 50-pound fish go in the area we're going to be fishing all the time.
You know, like mm-hmm. How many square miles does a buck do, you know, that he has his territory.
Right.
And he doesn't, minus the rut, obviously, he doesn't ever get out of that territory. I think that's the same, and I don't know, I'm no fish scientist, but I think that's the same with flathead. You know, they like
they've got
their own territory, and it's kind of like king of the hill.
Right.
You know?
They've got from dam to dam, technically, but I think that they do stay, you know, fairly close to one big pile of brush, one big area, and kind of dominate. They're kind of lazy, too.
They are. I was going to say the same.
I love it. I love it. Well, guys, we are, I don't know how it goes so fast. We're running out of time here. I want to let the listeners know, if you want to follow these guys on social medias, Kyle, how do you...
You can follow my Instagram. I'm usually posting big fish we catch on there and on my stories and stuff. It'd be the_KyleNewhouse. That's it.
All right. And Moose.
Basically, Snapchat. And you type in Animal Warfare to get you there. But if, for sure, just Death Central with the number one behind it. And that'll get you.
Yeah.
And I'm always.
I think you come up on mine as Ad Legend Outdoors.
Yeah, it could be. I don't even know. I guess it's for some, it's Animal Warfare. For some, it's Ad Legend. Death Central one will get you there, though.
And if any of you listeners have questions, comments, you can call the listener line at 618-639-4567. Again, that's 618-639-4567. Guys, we're going to have you back on as the fall approaches, so we can discuss more catfishing strategies, maybe dedicated towards that. Maybe the Moose will join us at the World Catfishing Championship of the World.
Is it Absolutely. Teams of two, right?
It is teams of two.
So I'm going to have to find...
Yeah.
Well, technically, Kyle's in my fishing
Hey, we've already won the championship together.
Did we win twice?
We've won twice, yes, back to back.
We won two out of the three.
Yes.
66%.
Yes.
Technically, that wasn't a very good grade in school.
There's only three exams so far.
He aced two, but then... didn't do so well.
Who knew Big Pat was going to come back in the home stretch? And
I
think Big Pat might have come out there from an all-nighter and went out and pulled off the win.
He just
catching a half-pound channel cat for the win, maybe.
Living legend right there. God bless him.
Sometimes you can't buy a fish.
That's how it goes.
Well, thank you guys for being here. Really look forward to the next time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was fun.
Thanks for having us on.
Yeah.
Loving every day, I want to see them tall pines sway. Y'all close them eyes, let's go there in our mind. Hunting and fishing and loving every day, that's the prayer this country boy prays. Thank God he made me this way. Hunting and fishing and loving every day, black coffee in the morning, dark whiskey in the evening. I get red dirt rich and flavor of a pain. Hunting and fishing and loving it.